And welcome back. Before the national highway system began to emerge in the 1950s, travel east and west, north and south was a little more casual, a lot slower, and quite picturesque. They were not highways, they were two-lane byways that included city streets and country roads. Remnants remain, but they are just that, remnants, with a few old historic landmarks. One of the most famous is Route 66. It stretches from Chicago to L.A. and cuts through our area in Illinois and Missouri, and through St. Louis. Efforts are underway to hang on to what we can of these roadways, including what we can of Route 66. With me in studio are Bill Hart, Executive Director of Missouri Preservation and author of the 2015 book Historic Missouri Roadsides. Ruth Kinoy is a historic preservation specialist with Landmarks Association of St. Louis. Frank Butterfield is director of the Springfield Office of Landmarks Illinois. He is also on the board of directors for the organization Illinois Route 66 Scenic Byway. Folks, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you. Bill, let me begin with you just by way of background, and we can't go into it in too much detail, but give me some sense of what our highway system was like before Dwight Eisenhower came along.
Very, very piecemeal, very, very local. Most activities led drivers from one town to another, most expediently. Many roads were not ever paved. Most of them were gravel or dirt roads. And until the 1950s and the advent of the interstate highway system really connected were the connectors to each of the small towns, maybe 15 or 20 or 25 miles apart from each other. And I feel created much more of a sense of community along the roadway than obviously our current interstate system does.
Ruth, those days are long gone.
They are long gone, but we still got some old roads you can drive on and get to see Missouri, which Bill's book is a great representation of that. Route 66 is one of the roads that was pretty much paved eventually in concrete here in Missouri by the end of the 1920s, early 1930s. So that made a pretty good drive for people here.
And what about on the Illinois side of the river?
Yeah, there's a lot of resources still remaining along Route 66. It's one where, we had this road system connecting all across the country. We have other famous roads in Illinois, the Lincoln Highway, but for some reason Route 66 gained this iconic status, songs written about it, people talking about it, that international visitors really want to see that road and experience that American sense of open road and freedom.
Was it the song that did it? I mean, I think of Nat King Cole and Route 66. It's obviously a classic.
I think that maybe had a lot to do with the renewed interest in it. Obviously, it's about an experience, and songs like that kind of capture the feeling of that experience. But very much so, the route is not just a collection of industrial archaeology, buildings, and landscapes. It's about an experience.
Ruth, what's to preserve? I mean, there's a lot of efforts going on right now, a lot of talk about preserving Route 66. We're not talking about the roadway itself.
We are talking about the roadway.
In fact, that shows you how much
yes,
I know.
There are some segments of old Route 66 left. A really good example is Pulaski County, which has two alignments. It has the original alignment and the one that was done that made Hooker's Cut, I think, in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. And Bill and I actually have been working on that one. We're going to try to do some districts, and it will include the old roadbed itself. But the buildings, too, and some of those buildings are houses that people lived in. They might have had a business there, or maybe their business was across the street. A lot of those houses served for people to stay in as motels, and they had little markets there. So there are a lot of buildings, too.
Frank, same story on the Illinois side?
Yeah, it's remarkable how much people are connected to the physical road, too, where there's sections that are still brick. There's a section in Illinois where when they paved it, a turkey ran across the road, so there's turkey tracks. So it's a connection to that physical road, and people actually get out and try to touch the road, which is not necessarily the safest thing to do, but the buildings along the side too. And our normal preservation toolkit sometimes doesn't answer those riddles where, local landmarking in a downtown, some of these are just along a rural stretch of highway, or things like tax credit programs to revitalize buildings. Sometimes it's difficult with the sort of idiosyncratic buildings.
I guess what I was thinking of in talking to Ruth about preserving roadways as, or buildings as opposed to roadways is largely as a result of your book, Bill, because you have a lot of structures. I mean, basically the book is a picture book of structures along these various routes.
It absolutely is.
And most of them look in pretty dismal shape, quite frankly. I mean, they've weathered not very well.
They are. And actually a part of the reason for the book and the purpose for the book is to kind of call attention to historic resources along Missouri's roadsides that may be wanting. And I figured if I highlighted some sort of if I recognized a building as historic, that maybe locals would too, and that would encourage reinvestment along Missouri's roadways.
What sort of efforts are currently underway to in this preservation effort?
And as far as the Route 66, there's what we call the Road Ahead Initiative. It was the result of in 2008, the World Monuments Fund put Route 66 on its watched list of endangered worldwide properties. As a result of that, there was an economic study done in 2012, I believe, by Rutgers University, looking at the economic impacts along the route to see what was still there. Who was still coming? The results of the study showed that more than 85% of Route 66 travelers along Route 66 visit historic places and museums. Tourists spend $38 million a year in the communities along the route. And heritage tourism has happened along main streets in the cities that the route goes through, and. There's been an annual gain of about 2,400 jobs, $90 million in income, $260 million in overall output, and a contribution of $127 million to GDP, just because of this roadway, which really hasn't even existed as a recognized U.S. route since 1985.
Do people still start in Chicago and drive Route 66 all the way to California?
They sure do. Some of them fly in from overseas and start in Chicago and drive all the way to California.
How difficult a trip is that now? I think of Watson Road, which is part of Route 66 at rush hour.
Yeah, that one will take you a while. But there are lots of people who do it, and there are organizations that have annual trips every year. There's one that Route 66 Association of Missouri does every year. It's not that difficult, and people do it all the time, and they really enjoy it.
Yeah. I want to talk about what we can preserve here locally, what mm-hmm. it would be targeted. We've talked about the roadway out in, was it Pulaski County, did you say?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But let me turn to you with regard to things that within our immediate region that people would know about. What would be targeted for preservation?
In Illinois, on that side, we looked at downtown Edwardsville, and there was the historic downtown that Route 66 runs through, and the Wildy Theater, if listeners have gone to a show there recently, that was shuttered for the better part of 20 years. But a great Art Deco resource that was basically stood witness to Route 66 along the way. But also the Luna Cafe had a grant to relight their neon sign. Things like that are important to the character of Route 66, as well as you go up to DeCamp Junction. There's a little tavern there. It is time travel. You feel like you're back traveling Route 66 when it was still a recognized route.
And Ruth Kinoy, what about in our immediate vicinity on this side of the river?
Well, probably the best known is Ted Drew's. I don't think that's going anywhere soon. That's on Chippewa. That's on Route 66. We've also got a little donut shop that's still open on there. There are lots of little hotels. You can see them along the way as you go along down Watson Road. But I think the big one here is the Diamonds, which is just outside of St. Louis County. People remember that. Everybody in St. Louis remembers that. And right now there is a lady who's running an auction house in there, and she's trying to get that stabilized, and we hope to get that on the National Register and restore it at some point in the future.
And if it gets on the National Register, what does that really mean? I mean, I understand the significance of that, but in terms of helping to preserve the place and restore it if that's necessary?
That will give her a lot of incentive to do that, because she will qualify The person who owns it would qualify for both state and federal tax credits, which is quite a drive here in Missouri, and also apply for some grants, perhaps some cost share right now, which you can get through the National Trust.
Bill, do we have any sense of how many places are out there that could, you know, could conceivably fall under this umbrella?
Thousands along the roadway. And the problem has been with actually getting recognition as a complete roadway. You know, there are several states that that Route 66 goes through, and leadership and representation among all these people has been really kind of scattered. So, again, getting back to this the Road Ahead initiative, lots of people from all of the states that are included have been meeting to try to form a structure whereby we can all work together to preserve the route under joint leadership.
The fact, though, that the route does go through so many different states, does that really complicate issues in terms of, you know, what can be done, coordinating efforts and making sure that it's, whatever is done fairly?
Indeed, it does. Mm-hmm. You know, with fragmented leadership also comes fragmented representation. If the entire roadway were recognized, and right now they're thinking about making the Route 66 a national trail, in which case it would be protected by the federal government.
I was just going to bring that up. I was looking at my notes here, and the national trail designation is an important one. So what's involved in making that happen? Is that a congressional thing?
Yes.
It is. There's currently, by National Park Service, a Route 66 corridor preservation program. That is set to sunset in 2019, and there's concerns that re-upping that might be difficult. So a National Historic Trail would take an act of Congress, but it would then be permanent, and it would that designation would continue on without having to be renewed every couple of years.
So it would sunset with along with its funds to manage the program. The Corridor Preservation Program at current is run by the National Park Service, and there are cost share grants that go to people. As a matter of fact, the donut drive-in that Ruth was talking about got a grant to redo their neon sign. The old Skylark Motel that's along Route 66 in along Interstate 44 just got a cost share grant to restore the neon on the old Skylark Motel.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's in St. Clair.
We don't have a lot of time left, but I want to open the phone lines. I'm sure there are people who have memories or items of interest they'd like to bring up with regard to Route 66. 382-8255 is our number if you'd like to make a call and get into the conversation. You know, we have a number of emails already here, and Ted Drews has been mentioned, as not surprisingly, a very popular spot. But I knew this would come up. It's not in your book. It surprised me a little bit, and that's Coral Courts, because every time Coral Courts is mentioned, as everyone here at the table is doing now, a big smile comes on their faces because it's a legendary, well-storied, as they say. But it's no longer there. How did it happen that something, place like the Coral Courts, which was had a fond place and many memories, went away?
It wasn't protected. It wasn't protected locally. The National Register is basically a recognition program. And, you know, much of what is along the highway is commercial, industrial, and those properties are subject to the vagaries of the economy, unfortunately. And a lot of times when the travelers quit coming, a lot of businesses folded and my book actually is more rural than
sure, no,
so it doesn't actually come through St. Louis, but the Coral Courts Motel obviously is gone and has been turned into a housing development. But interestingly enough, just across the road from there, the duplex, the Wayside, and the Chippewa motels still exist there, mm-hmm. on that old stretch of Route 66, and. Certainly a National Register recognition of those motels could mean a renewal of not only physically but an interest in those places.
The Coral Court, so I attended a lecture the other night. It was cited as one of the outstanding examples of mid-century modern architecture. And so it's a loss for another reason, too.
A beautiful, streamlined, modern, glazed brick motel
it
complex
was a gem.
That you could – drive into, actually, each unit attached to its own garage.
Which
so it was the perfect no-tell motel.
Well, I'm glad you said that, but that's exactly what it is, and we all know it, and that's why it brings a smile to everybody's face. Let's take a call. Jay joins us from Normandy. Jay, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'd like you to talk about that great area from Jerome through about Devil's Elbow, and it goes right by the two rivers, the Gasconade, the Piney, and a wonderful area, a neat stretch of double lane.
It is. It's a beautiful area, and in fact, we're working on trying to get, as I said, a couple of nominations. There's one we're working on, which is Devil's Elbow, and it includes that 1920s road and the bridge and the businesses and houses on both sides, and then also those little Ozark cabins down there on the new alignment, the big Piney River cabins. You might be familiar with those.
Great spot. I mean, a great place.
Beautiful. And the Missouri Department of Transportation has been a lot more receptive, especially on Route 66, to renovating historic structures such as the bridge at Devil's Elbow, yeah, which reopened last year.
Is that in your book? I don't
that
recall
stretch
it.
Of Route 66
no,
is not.
I didn't think so.
There's one stretch of Route 66 in Lebanon, and then there's another long stretch that goes from Halltown to Carthage along Route 66 as well.
Right. I'm going to take another call now. We'll bring in Anna calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Anna.
I'd like to just say that I just drove the route from Palm Springs, California to St. Louis and back. And I think that Stegman, Arizona has the best shops for memorabilia on the highway, just for what it's worth.
How long did it take you?
We took 4 days out, 4 days back.
Not bad.
And did you stay at some of the motels along the way?
We did, indeed, yeah. But we didn't stay in any of the traditional ones, like, for instance, the TP one in Holbrook, mm-hmm, Arizona, but we stopped along the way.
Thanks for the call. Right. You know, when I think of Route 66, I think of motels, diners, and drive-in theaters. I guess those are the three biggies, are they not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if that caller wants to do the Illinois stretch, I can take her to the Palms Grill in Atlanta. We can check out the Illinois side. You got to complete that last stretch.
Let's not forget it. The song starts in Chicago,
there
right?
We go.
From Chicago,
exactly,
to L.A. Through Illinois first. He mentioned the bridges, and I wanted to bring that up because bridges are an important part of this. And bridges today are, you know, have problems because they're older and they need a lot of them. What sort of an issue are bridges with regard to what we're talking about here?
Big issue. Yeah.
Huge. At Missouri Preservation, we have a list, an endangered list that we promote each year, and more and more. As a matter of fact, this year we have two bridges on our Places in Peril list. One of them is the Route 66 bridge over the Merrimack in St. Louis County, which is right next to the Route 66 Museum, which was directly across the street from Steinies and Times Beach. And there's another one in southwest Missouri that citizens are lobbying to try to save. The big problem with bridges has always been that there's plenty of money for replacement of bridges, federal money, but federal money doesn't come in for maintenance of bridges. That has to be a state thing. And a lot of times there's just not the money there for maintenance of bridges long term. MoDOT has been very responsive as of late. And actually, if bridges become obsolete, they've been giving bridges away to suitable owners and new owners.
Well, Frank, money's not an issue over in Illinois, is it?
No, we don't talk about money. It's been an issue, though, with Route 66. Route 66 touches tourism and preservation. And we, as you know, we don't have a state budget right now, and it doesn't look like we're going to have one in the immediate future. So it's tough right now.
Right. We have an email, speaking of bridges, from Nathan. Says the Chain of Rocks Bridge is possibly the largest and most iconic remnant from Route 66. It's wonderful it was preserved and open to the public. But why in the name of God is it only accessible from the Illinois side?
I turned to my Missouri friends. Why is the Missouri side?
That one.
I'm clueless on that one. I have no idea.
It is a fantastic bridge, though.
Yeah, it is. Well, awesome bridge.
Well, what can people do? There is this great nostalgia associated with what we've been talking about. Are there things that just plain folks can do to get involved, to kind of help with
Absolutely. Dealing with it? They can donate to the organizations that we all work for, which work to preserve these types of resources. They can also talk to their people in politics and government, state, local. They can also lobby their areas to have preservation ordinances that protect such properties. And if you have money to buy one of these Route 66 properties, by all means, we encourage you to do that.
If you want to buy a bridge, they're up for
sale.
They're
giving them away.
They're giving away. Bill, do you have a thought about that?
Ruth said it all. There's really not much.
How about you, Frank?
I would just encourage people to get involved. When a building or a site is designated a local landmark or put on the National Register, it's not because we're just saying, this ought to be done, or the federal government saying it should be done. It's because local activist groups are getting involved and participating in the process.
Mm-hmm. I would add one thing, and that is, remember I was saying the National Register just ensures that a place is recognized, it doesn't protect it. Those local preservation laws are the ones that protect historic places because they're tailored to your specific needs in your own community.
We'll get information about your organizations on our website at stlpublicradio.org. We'll have a link so that folks can follow this a little more closely. I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Bill Hart, Ruth Kinoy, and Frank Butterfield, thank you. Good luck with
thank
your
you.
Future work thank on these areas. As I say, a lot of nostalgia. One writer here we didn't have a chance to get to it said they are community centers, these roadways and some of these properties.
Absolutely.
Thank you all. Good
thank
luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with John Meacham about his new biography of former President George Herbert Walker Bush. Then we'll take a look at the Sunflower Project. What in the world is that? Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.
Get your kicks on Route 66.